message, the Lord willing, on having a pure mind. Now, the word pure has to do with being clean and those kind of things and free from the filth and so forth. But it's not the word perfect. The perfect mind we know is Christ. His mind is perfect. But that ought to be our goal. Now, while we cannot be perfect in this life, that should be our goal. Perfect, to be mature, to grow in the Lord and things of this nature. Turn, if you would, tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And the text verse for this message tonight will be found in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I don't know if you've thought about that much, but think about that. We have, talking about saved people, have the mind of Christ. It means that we begin to think like Christ would have us to think. We don't have that perfect mind, but we can have a pure mind. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in the service this evening, and I trust and pray that God will speak to all of our hearts concerning this. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We've enjoyed the fellowship beyond measure. It's been such a blessing to us and such an encouragement to us, and to see our brothers and sisters in Christ from here and from other churches and our own missionaries and their family, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that you would bless in the service tonight. We pray that the lost would be saved, and those of us who are saved, we've been drawn closer to thee. I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to the things of your word, and it might help us in these last days in which we live to be more like Christ. I pray that you would forgive me of my sins and fill me with your power and spirit, and give me liberty to say those things that you would have to be said tonight in this service for such a time as this. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all, and amen. Talking about the mind is that which thinks. At least it's supposed to, right? The mind is supposed to think. The mind is that which perceives, or that which wills, or our memory. As you think about your mind tonight, and we talked about the heart, the things that proceed out of the heart, the things that go into your mind are the things that will come out many times in how we act or what we say. Now, many questions are asked sometimes about the mind, and you think about this, and probably you young people have heard this not too long ago. Your parents may have said to you, "What were you thinking? Are you out of your mind?" Have you heard that? Yeah. "Why did you think that would be okay?" That's the problem. You didn't think. Now, we were all young at one time. We've heard these things too. So let's not get up here and say that's what we tell our kids, because that's what they said, our parents said to us. You made a very bad decision. You didn't stop to think, did you? You didn't think about the consequences. Stop and think before you act. And then here's the most popular of all time. "Are you crazy?" We got a guy at church, he said, "Is you crazy?" Then perhaps where you work or something, you've heard this expression: "You need to clean up your mind." And then others might say, "I can't believe you would think like that." So the mind is a part of us. And the mind is something that we know about. And the mind is something that we do our thinking with. And I've thought about this a lot of times in studying for the lesson over the period of time, that things come into our mind. And there are some things that we forget, but there are a lot of things we don't forget. And they're in our mind. That's why when a person hears, I used to work where they cursed all the time. And while I didn't curse, that would find its way in my mind. And sometimes if you don't watch, when something happens, although you may not express it, It may be what you were thinking. And then there are bad thoughts or bad jokes that sometimes you overhear. Not trying to hear it, but you overhear it. You hear it. And you think, I can't get that out of my mind. And then there are pictures sometimes that you see, and we're deluged or flooded today with all kinds of pornography on the computers, on the billboards, in the magazines and everything, and our young people are exposed to all of this. Needless to say about the television and the movies and all of those kind of things, and as much as we try to stay away from that, we're flooded with that all the time. And what happens is, that's a mental picture. And if you don't watch, that's what you're thinking. Now, most of us that are over 60 now, we can't remember what happened 2 hours ago, but we can remember what happened 30 years ago, just like it was yesterday. And there are things that happen, and listen, I know this for a fact. I believe this with all of my heart. When you're in the church service, or you're out witnessing, or you're on the job, and a dirty thought or a dirty picture enters your mind, that's not the Lord putting it in there. That's not the Lord doing that. That's the old devil. And the old devil is the accuser, and he's always the one that's reminding you of what you saw or what you did or how you acted or what you looked a second time for. I preach sermons on temptation. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are tempted. And the temptation, comes about because you dwell on it. All of us are tempted at times. It's like when you're driving down the road and you see something that's attractive to you. And you look, there's a temptation there, but you turn away from it. The sin comes in when you start looking again and again and again. And that's what happened to David. That's why David sinned. He was watching Bathsheba and he didn't look away. He was tempted and he dwelled on that temptation and that destroyed him. That destroyed his family. Everything that ever meant anything to him. As you think about that tonight, we're going to read some scriptures. And this particular scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Spiritually seeing these things and understanding these things. Because as we study the Word of God and we study what God gives to us, and those things are in our mind, and the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. There are a lot of scriptures along this area, and I would that you would study this out when you think about this. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, who is Paul? Paul is the writer here, and he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he is instructing them. And if this was not possible, I don't think he would tell us this. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now what happens when we're saved? God saves our soul. But He cleanses us from all sin. Right? All sin. When He paid our sin debt at Calvary, He paid for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. And so we are cleansed from all those sins, and we are to live a Christian life, and we're to be more like Christ, and we're to think more like Christ would have us to think. And we're to look on the things that God would have us to look upon, and not to look upon the things He would not look upon. Now, someone has come out with a bracelet years ago, said, "What would Jesus do?" What would WWJD, I guess is the way it was. But I was studying here a while back, and I ran across something. And this writer said this, "I think it would be more important to not think about what would Jesus do in a particular situation, but think about what Jesus has already done." Now think about that, what He's already done. As I talked about Daniel last night, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself and he would not partake of the king's meat and the king's wine, all those kind of things. Well, he planned ahead. Listen, you can give in to your mind and you can give in to the things that you see with your eyes, and you can dwell on those things, or you can turn away from them and ask God to forgive you. I've been in a church service, and a thought would pop in my mind or something, and I was about to preach, and I'd say, Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to think like that. I don't want those things in my mind. I don't want to dwell on those things. Listen, we're human beings. God knows that. He knows that things come in our mind. He knows that we see with our eyes. He knows the things that we hear. Listen, the things we hear get in our mind. The things we see get in our mind. The things that we talk about, those get in our mind. If you think about it, all the senses, those things get in our mind, don't they? There are some things I wish I could forget. I know a preacher that got spinal meningitis. Is that correct? Spinal meningitis. He was a pastor of a church. He had started a youth camp. He had written books and all of those things. And he had spinal meningitis, and he lost everything. He couldn't remember anything. He was just like a little infant kid. His wife had to teach him how to walk and how to eat and everything else. And his mind, it was like it was erased. And we thought, how awful that is. How terrible that is. And I heard an old preacher preach that's dead now. And he had lived a horrible life on the streets before he was saved. And God saved him and changed his life. And he said this. This older preacher said about that other guy. He said, I wish to God that my mind was erased of all those things in my past. That it was gone, that it was done with, that I couldn't remember it anymore. And that preacher stood before us, and he'd had that disease 9 years ago, and in 9 years, he had read the Bible 3 times a day, every day. His wife taught him to walk. His wife taught him to eat. His wife even had to convince him that they were married. He knew nothing about it. And in 9 years, he studied the Word of God. And that's all he had in his mind. Those other things were erased. They had to tell him that those were his children. They had to tell him that that was the church that he pastored. They had to tell him. He the only things he knows is what they told him from that point on and reminded him of, because he couldn't remember it. They had to tell him again. And it was all new to him. And in 9 years, I sat in the congregation and I listened to him preach to 900 men. And what he knew about the Bible would cause you just to sit in awe of what he had learned from the Word of God. Now, you know what? I don't want spinal meningitis. I don't want to have to go through all that. But I wish there were a lot of things that I had never seen or never heard or never observed or never given into in my life. And I think all of us tonight probably would say that. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, here's what it says. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37. As you think about the mind tonight, the mind and what goes in and what comes out, and having a pure mind, as pure as possible, in this old flesh in which we live. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the Bible says, well, in 36, that the lawyers were talking there in verse 35, and then they said in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? In verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's what we talked about last night. And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You see, the mind is important. The mind is what God talks about a lot in our lives. I remember last year preaching in the conference at Bryan Station, and Brother Gormley, who pastored there for I don't know how many years, 40 years or 50 years or whatever, and he just retired. And he preached, and he's about 6'8", but he looks like he's about 8 foot tall. A big, great big guy, and he preaches with authority. And he was preaching to us, and he said, gentlemen, ladies, it's about the mind. Think about that mind. The mind that God has given you. and the mind that we feel and we sense and all those kind of things that go on in our lives, and we take that for granted sometimes, that God has given us a mind to think with. But you know what? We ought to put the things in our mind that God would have us to put in our mind. Not these other things. I'm going to tell you, that's junk and that's trash, and it won't help you to dwell on those evil things and wicked things and to think about them and get them out of your mind. I know preachers that have been destroyed by computers because they got into pornography. I know Christians that have been destroyed in their marriages and their lives, destroyed because of pornography on the computer. Now, the computer has a lot of good things. A lot of good things, a lot of good information. And I don't know much about computers. But when I see something that I don't know, my wife said, just delete it. Don't open it up. And they'll send things, what you know, singles and all that kind. I don't know what all that's about. I don't know how they get my email address, but I delete all that. I don't want to see it. I don't want to be tempted. I don't want to give in to those things. I want to say no. Just say no. That's the emphasis that we've said about drinking and smoking and all those kind of things. Just say no. Now, things that are good can be used sometimes for evil. Wickedness. And let me impress this on your heart and mind, you young people especially. Once you get that in your mind, you can't hardly get it out of there. It's there. And those things that you wish that you could get out of your mind that you had seen, it's there. When my dad was fighting in the Second World War, my mother's brother-in-law, who was dad's friend, they worked service station together after they got out of the war. And my dad wouldn't talk about the Second World War. He wouldn't tell you anything about it. He came home and he went to work there in Missouri and Arkansas. And he would never say anything about it. And we wondered for years why Dad never talked about it. My uncle said this: your dad saw some horrible things. Those things he can't forget. And almost all of his platoon was killed and he was spared. And he said he saw some horrible things and he doesn't want to talk about them. He doesn't want to think about them. He doesn't want those things in his mind, but they're indelibly in your mind. The things that you put in there many times, and I mentioned the other night about this young lady that memorized Psalm 119, all 176 verses. Well, the devil's not happy about that. The devil wants her to learn things that would destroy her and hurt her and cause her to get into sin. But here she is studying the Scriptures. I remember going to ACE conventions, and I remember this family, sober family, and they would come and they would play basketball, and all their boys were short, but they could all shoot three-pointers. But I'll tell you, that wasn't the greatest thing about them. The greatest thing about them was, well, you put them in a Bible memorization, or you put them in a Bible question and answer, and they knew all the answers, and they could quote a lot of the Bible verses, a lot of chapters, and all that kind of stuff. Now, I was impressed with how they could shoot the basketball because they were really good. But I was more impressed by what they knew about the Bible, the Word of God. And you know what? The basketball was soon over. But what they put in their mind, what they memorized, they remember from now on. Brother Roy Humble, I don't know if many of you know him. I mentioned him, I think, last night. But he was an older gentleman. And he was in his 80s. And he'd get up to preach. And he would start quoting. By the time he left his seat till he got up here, I mean, he's still quoting Scripture verse by verse and sometimes chapters. And an older gentleman. But he studied and he practiced and he wanted to have the Word of God in his mind rather than these other things. Is that what you want for your children? Is that what you want for your grandchildren? I tell you, it was amazing to me how they did that, how he does that. Matthew 22:37, we're to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and our soul and with all thy mind. Love him. Heart, soul, and mind. Now let's go to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 19. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 19. I've got all these marked. I could read them all to you, but I want you to see them. I want you to mark them. Go back to them. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 19. Paul says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How about it? What is the thing you want to think about first when you wake up in the morning? Well, most of us think about coffee, don't we? We ought to be thinking, Lord, I thank you for giving me another day. I don't know if you've ever been really ill. I don't know if you've been near the point of death. Maybe some of you have. But when that happens, boy, you just thank the Lord that you have another day. Now, I want to go to heaven. I really do. I mean, that's where I'm headed. But I like this life. I like fellowship down here, too. I like being in church service. I like the fellowship that we have and the friends that we have and the families that we have and the churches that we know. I like all of that. And I'm on my way to heaven, and it's a journey. God's already taken care of the ticket. He's already paid the fare and everything else. And I'm going to heaven, but while I'm here, I want to enjoy the trip. And you know what? I want to give Him the glory. I want to give Him the praise. I want to give Him the exaltation, because He's the one's worthy of that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, just keep going over there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse number 7, after Thessalonians, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, there it is, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, Paul mentions three characteristics of the effective Christian, and here they are. We find them there in verse number 7. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but here it is, the three characteristics, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given that to us. That's ours, that God's gift to us. He says we're not to fear. Don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you know that the same Lord that saved the Apostle Paul is the same Lord that saved Paul Jackson? Same name, Paul, right? Paul Reynolds, wherever he is. He may have been raptured out of here. Who knows? Wouldn't that be something? One time we were having a dinner at church, and I guess we'd already had the service or whatever, and somebody came in to get their relative. They didn't come to church there. And we were all in the fellowship hall or gymnasium, and all the Bibles and coats and everything was still in the church sanctuary. And they came in and they got scared. And man, they was running through that building looking for us because they thought the rapture had taken place. That would be a scary thing, wouldn't it, if that had happened and they were still left. Paul mentions the three characteristics of the effective Christian leader, of course: power, love, and a sound mind. That has to do with wisdom. You know, later in my life, I was more impressed with older preachers. I was more interested in what they had to say. And as I was a younger guy, you know, I thought, well, they're just old guys. You know, what do they know? But the more I learned and the more I studied and the more that I was around older preachers, the more I realized that whatever they were talking about, there was just so much wisdom there. They had a lot of wisdom. They had a lot of knowledge. The other night when Brother Carter was doing the lesson on Wednesday night at church, and he preached a portion of scripture from Galatians, one of the chapters. And we went home with them afterwards, and we were talking about preaching and about messages and outlines and so forth. And he said, did you see my outline tonight? My wife and I said, no, we didn't see your outline. And his wife, Betty, said, I didn't see your outline. He said, that's because I didn't have an outline. He preached just from the Bible without any notes or anything. And he had this knowledge and this wisdom that he gave to us. And I remember when we have the Heroes of Faith conferences at our church and we have the older preachers and we honor them, the heroes of the faith. And we would listen to them preach and they just had so much wisdom and knowledge and so much knowledge in their mind that they would give to us. And my wife and I would have a kind of a private banquet. We'd rent a place and the hotel where they were staying and my wife and I and some of the staff and we'd have all those preachers and their wives just there for dinner. And then after dinner we'd say, listen, we'd just like for you to tell us about your ministry. And they began to tell us about their ministry and things that happened that were great and some things that weren't so great. And I want to tell you, that really blessed my heart. I wish that was on tape so we could listen to it. But just the things they'd experienced and the things they had learned and the things that they remembered about all of that. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're talking about having a pure mind. Having the mind of Christ. Thinking like Christ would have us to think. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise, listen, with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. The same mind. The same mind. You know, in a church, there ought to be singleness of mind. And we ought to be on the same page, so to speak. And we all ought to desire the same things, have the same goals. And I believe as you study the Word of God, I believe it will unite you. I believe there will be harmony. And I believe that all of us would see the will of God. And we'd all want the same thing that God would have us to have. And we'd be all thinking in the same way. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll turn back there a few pages. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 7 through 9. The scriptures say these words in 7 through 9. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, listen to this. This is what we need to have in our mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, that means value, and if there be any praise, what does it say? Think on these things. Now, I'm not going to ask you tonight what you're thinking about. I'm not going to ask you that. But you know what you're thinking about. But the Bible says, and everybody likes it when a preacher says finally. Now with some preachers that doesn't mean much. But they say finally, and Paul says here, finally, to the church at Philippi, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Then you could go down to the bottom, think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest, think on honest things. Whatsoever things are just, think on the honest, the just things. Whatsoever things are pure, think on pure things. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now I want you to look at verse 9. Paul says this. What a testimony. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I wish all of us had that testimony tonight. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. That's a pretty strong testimony. But I believe that Paul backed up what he said. They say if it's true, if it you know it's if you think it's bragging, it's not bragging if it's facts. The Apostle Paul, when he was saved on the Damascus Road, his whole life changed. I think Brother Cecil said Sunday morning in class, He was a Hebrew of the Hebrew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, probably one of the most well-educated men of his day. But when God saved him, he completely changed. And even God's people were kind of leery of him. He was a terrorist of his day, killing Christians. And then here's his testimony. He's saying, listen, brethren, you need to think on these things. This is the things you need to have in your mind. This is the things you need to be thinking about. And then he says here at the end, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do it. My dad used to say, do it, do it, do it. That's what he'd say at the end of his message. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, Paul had experienced that. Although he had all the critics, although he had all the accusers, although he went to the prisons and the palaces and the pits, he says this, and the God of peace shall be with you. You ever been in a storm, but you had peace about it? Have you ever been in a church storm when things were rocky and rough and people were upset? And you still had peace about it? Years ago, when I hadn't been in church very long, and we started mission work, and the mission work didn't like it because I was the new pastor, and they were going to come back because they were, at that time, members of our church, and they were going to come back and fire me. Sometimes I wish they had them, you know. And I had men from our church come over. Larry was one of them. And they came over, and they said, preacher, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They're coming in here tonight, and they're going to cause trouble, and they're going to try to get rid of you. I learned from my dad, and I said, listen, whatever you do, don't leave this building. Don't let them have the building and the property. If they fire me tonight, if they bring it up and boat on it and fire me tonight, God will take care of me and my family. And I really felt that. I really meant that. God will take care of us. We met. We had the service. They never showed. My wife and I lived across the street from the church. God parted the waters. We walked across on dry land. You know what? I owe God. I owe God everything. I owe Him to have a pure heart. I owe Him to have a pure mind. And I owe Him to have a pure life. I wish I had the testimony of Paul that I could stand before you tonight and say, hey, those things you've seen in me, that's what you need to do. I wish I had that testimony. I wish I could say that in the same humility of mind that I believe the Apostle Paul did. But I can tell you this tonight. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. And after all, why does He leave us here if we're just going to get worse and worse and worse? I think that we ought to mature. And I think we ought to develop as Christians. And I think we ought to have, as best as humanly possible, a pure heart and a pure mind and a pure life. That's what I desire for myself. That's what I desire for my family, my church family. You see this little group right over here? They're like my own children. They know that I preach the same way at our church. I haven't arrived. I don't have it all together, and I don't have it all figured out. And I'm not the Apostle Paul. But if I know my heart, if I know my mind, if I know what I'm trying to live, I want to be there. I want to be there. That's my goal. I fall far short, I know that. But I just keep getting back up. You ever been knocked down? I've been knocked down. I've been knocked down a lot of times. And I felt like just laying there and saying it isn't worth it anymore. But God wouldn't let me lay there, and I get back up. And I go again. Maybe this time I get a little farther before I get knocked down. But I want to tell you this. It pays to serve Jesus every day. The best thing that ever happened in my life was when the Lord saved my soul. I was raised in a preacher's home. I went to church all the time, but I wasn't saved. And I wasn't a drunkard, and I wasn't a drug addict, and I wasn't committing adultery, and I wasn't into pornography and all that. But I was a sinner. And while I wasn't as bad as some, I was as bad off as all of them without Christ. And I realized one night just as clear as if God was speaking to me out loud, and he wasn't, but just as clear that son, if you die without Christ, you're going to burn in hell just like the rest of them. And God saved my soul. And I was in a sound Baptist church where I was scripturally baptized, became a member of the church, and my life has never been the same. I never thought I'd be a preacher. I never thought I'd be a pastor. I never even dreamed about it. But I thank God that he would allow me to be one of his servants. You don't have to be a preacher or pastor to be a servant. You don't have to be a deacon or a treasurer or a Sunday school teacher to be a servant. We're all of us servants of God. And I tell you what, we're on the same level. Nobody's higher than the other. Nobody's better than the other, bigger than the other. No big shots. We're all on the same level. We're servants of Almighty God. And let me say this in closing. He deserves for us to have as our goal to have a pure heart and a pure mind and a pure life. We'll talk about the life tomorrow night, the Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We want to do better. We want to be better Christians. We want to be more faithful servants. We want to be more obedient. We want our light to shine, not for our glory, but for yours. I pray that we can be the witness that we ought to be to all the lost, that we can be an encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can help those that are in need, that truly need our help. And I pray that one day, all of these folks that are assembled here tonight that are children of God, I pray one day they'll stand before you and you will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for allowing us to serve you. We love to live for you. We love these songs. We love the fellowship. Lord, we pray that more than anything else, that you'll be pleased with the services here this week and every week. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. Brother Reynolds. 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 It all. And amen.